we can learn from. I pray that during this time of Thanksgiving, you'll spend a little bit of time in the Psalms. All this week is Thanksgiving week, and so go back and reread some of those Psalms. Psalm 18, Psalm 66, Psalm 125, 126, Psalm 135 to 139. Those are all great Psalms on Thanksgiving and that, and so it's a great week to kind of reflect a little bit in the Psalms. Tonight's message is, you know, being Thanksgiving week, as I was studying the message for this morning and that, so I was thinking about Thanksgiving, and I thought, you know, this really is a time of the year to be thankful and thank God for our blessings. We sing that song, you know, count your blessings, name them one by one. But I oftentimes thought, too, you know, there's a lot of people that don't count their blessings. And there's a lot of people that would rather choose to grumble and complain. Amen? Now, you don't know probably any of those people, but they're out there and that. So, I'm trying to think, for every positive, there's a negative. Amen? And so tonight, I'm going to preach kind of an unusual message tonight. At least I think it's a little unusual, because I was looking at Thanksgiving week. And just being a time to thank the Lord, count our blessings, look for, I mean, tonight when I pulled out, did you see the red sky in the west and the west horizon tonight? I thought, man, now you just set, and just the sunsets and the sunrises and even the beauty of the snow on the trees and that, you know, just so many things out there to thank the Lord for. I've always been kind of a person, the glass half full kind of guy, rather than the glass half empty. I'd always rather look at it full. Matter of fact, my wife says, you're too optimistic. You're so optimistic, you're not realistic. You got to be realistic. But I'd rather be optimistic. But so I'm going to take the flip side of Thanksgiving, since it's Thanksgiving week. And I titled the message tonight, God's Plan for Complaining. And I thought, what a interesting title, huh, for Thanksgiving week. God's plan. You say, well, does God have a plan for complaining? Yes, He does. It's in the Bible. I want to show it to you tonight. And so, this has been Thanksgiving. And you go to the book of Numbers here. It really, what an interesting book. Historically, the book of Numbers takes off where Exodus left off. And it's really a book here about all the wilderness wanderings, when they're in the wilderness wandering, and about Israel, redeemed Israel, as they come out of Egypt, and that, and then upon their failure to enter the promised land when they got to Kadesh Barnea. So when you look here, it's really, when you look at the book of Numbers, it's really a book about their service and their walk with the Lord. And I thought, what better way than to think about that, our service and our walk with the Lord, as we look at the nation of Israel. And so, you know, when you think about Genesis, we think about creation. We think about God creating the heavens and the earth and all the things that we have. It's also about the fall of man. When you go on to the book of Exodus, it's about redemption. It's about redeeming Israel from bondage down in Egypt. When you go to Leviticus, Leviticus is really all about worship and about fellowship. So when you get here to the book of Numbers, it's about our service to the Lord and our walk to the Lord. And so it's important to note here in the book of Numbers that God left nothing to chance, and that He had a plan for everything. Every servant in Israel was to be numbered. That's how you come up with the book of Numbers. Now, if you want a New Testament correlation to this, it's 1 Corinthians chapter 12 on the spiritual gifts in the New Testament church today. There's a place for everything, for everybody that's in the Lord's work. Not everybody does the same thing. There's different gifts given to different people within the body to make it to be able to function. And so it is right here with the nation of Israel. We find that they likewise had a plan that they were to number so that everybody knew what their place was. And they had an assigned service. And so when you think about it really through this, when you read chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, all the way to chapter 10, it's really positive and upbeat. But all of a sudden, when you get to chapter 11, it's kind of like everything shifts. And you got to keep in mind now, they're on their wilderness wanderings. They're out in the wilderness, and they're wandering along and moving their way towards the promised land. They get to Kadesh Barnea, and all of a sudden they encounter some tough times. And so the people began to complain. Look at it in Numbers chapter 1. And just so we all kind of remind, a definition of complaining is to really express pain, or to express displeasure, or to find fault with something, or to make an accusation, or to bring a formal charge. And we've all been there at one time or another. I don't know, maybe there's somebody here tonight that has never complained, but if you're telling the truth, I think we've all complained about something at one time or another. And so I think it's good to look at this here in Scripture, is when the people complained, What a way to start the chapter out. And what a transition from these first 10 chapters now to chapter 11, because it opens up with the people of Israel complaining. And it says right out of in verse 1, it displeased the Lord. So that created a thought within my mind. I thought, man, if I complain, if I say something I don't like, whatever, am I displeasing the Lord when I complain? Well, here with Israel, they were. And when the people complained, it displeased the Lord. And then the Lord heard it, and then his anger, in verse 1, was kindled, and the fire of the Lord burnt among them. Wow, and look at this in verse 1. And consumed them that were in the uttermost parts of the camp. Now notice when this happened, then the people, Israel here, cried unto Moses. And when Moses prayed unto the Lord, the fire was quenched. I like that. Moses had this unique relationship with God. So he prayed for Israel, and the fire was quenched. And in verse 3, and he called the name of the place Taberah, because the fire of the Lord burnt among them, and the mixed multitude. Now, the mixed multitude in verse 4 is really those that were not, is some of the those that came out of Egypt with the Israelites. That's what it's referred to in the mixed multitude as they came out of Egypt and out of bondage, some with Israel. And the mixed multitude that was among them fell a lusting. So here you got two problems. In verse 1, you got complaining going on. And verse 4, you got lusting going on. Bad combination. Bad combination in Scripture when you put complaining together with lusting going on. And it says, and the children of Israel wept again and said, who shall give us flesh to eat? We remember, now you know, go back. They remember down in Egypt. Now, we remember the fish which we did eat in Egypt freely, and the cucumbers, and the melons, and the leeks, and the onions, and the garlic. But now our soul is dried away, and there's nothing at all beside this manna before our eyes. And the manna was a coriander seed, and the color thereof was as the color of bdellium. And the people went about and gathered it and ground it in mills or beat it in a mortar and baked it in pans and made cakes of it. And the taste of it was as the taste of fresh oil. And when the dew fell upon the camp at night, the manna fell upon that. And that's when they would go out and gather just enough for one day's supply. In verse 10, and then when Moses heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent, the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly, and Moses also was displeased. Now listen to the dialogue between Moses and God. What an interesting dialogue right here. Moses said unto the Lord, wherefore hast thou afflicted thy servant? It's kind of like Moses is telling God, God, why have you afflicted me? Why have you afflicted me by giving me this whole nation of Israel, as all they're doing is complaining about this manna? And he says, and wherefore have I not found favor in thy sight that thou layest the burden of all this people upon me? You think Moses began to feel the weight of all this and the burden of all this? And they're, can you imagine they're, 2 million, 3 million people strong at this time, and they're in the door of the tents complaining, and the whole nation of Israel? So Moses hears this, and he's having this dialogue with God. He says in verse 12, now this is really good. He says, have I conceived all this people? They're not my people, God. They're your people. They belong to you. They don't belong to me. They belong to you. Have I forgotten them that thou shouldest say unto me, carry them in thy bosom as a nursing father beareth the sucking child unto the land which thou swearest unto their fathers? When should I have flesh to give unto all this people? For they weep unto me, saying, give us flesh that we may eat. I am not able to bear all this people alone, because it is too heavy for me. Boy, here's a good thing to learn in the Bible, especially, I know tonight, especially if you're a pastor, evangelist, missionary, or to keep in mind, everything that we do is the Lord's work. And we need to keep in mind, it belongs to God. The body of Christ belongs to God. The work of the Lord belongs to God. What we do it as unto the Lord. If you begin to do it as unto people, you're going to feel the weight of that. You're going to feel the trials along with that. Everything we do is as unto the Lord. And so Moses is simply saying here, I'm not able, in verse 14, to bear all this people alone, because it's too heavy for me. If thou deal thus with me, notice this now, kill me. I thought, when I read that, I thought, boy, this is really getting bad. Moses is really feeling the weight of this. He's saying, God, I didn't sign up for this. I don't want to do this. And I don't want to listen to this. I don't want, God, just remove me and take me out of here. He says, I pray thee, out of thy hand, if I have found favor in thy sight, let me not see my wretchedness. Now, look, God, I always love it. God hears this prayer. And so the Lord said to Moses, gather unto me. Now, here's God's solution to this. He says, gather unto me 70 men of the elders of Israel, whom thou knowest to be the elders of the people and officers over them, and bring them unto the tabernacle of the congregation, that they may stand there with thee. And I will come down and talk with thee there, and I will take of the Spirit which is upon you, Moses, upon thee, and I will put that Spirit upon them, these 70 leaders, and they shall bear the burden of the people with thee, that thou bear it not thyself alone. Now there's a great, great thing if you look at it in Scripture right here. And whether you're a pastor or a deacon or a Sunday school teacher or a worker or in the ministry, it's all about God's work. And so here God is teaching them a good lesson, and he's going to share the burden from Moses and spread it out among 70 people, and it really becomes here that Moses, you're not going to have to share this alone by yourself. And say in verse 18, thou unto the people, sanctify yourself against tomorrow, and ye shall eat flesh, for ye have wept in the ears of the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it was well with us in Egypt, and therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and ye shall eat. You shall not eat one day, nor 2 days, nor 5 days, neither 10 days, nor 20 days, but even a whole month until it come out of your nostrils. Boy, I'll tell you, you think God's having a little humor getting back here with Moses and the people of Israel? He said, you want meat? I'm going to give you quail. You want so much quail? I'm going to give you so much, it's going to come out of your nostrils. Now, I don't know about you, but to me, that's never been a fun experience in life. And how he illustrates this, and be it loathsome unto you, because that you have despised the Lord which is among you, and have wept before him, saying, why came we forth out of Egypt? It's kind of like saying, why are we here? Why are we experiencing this? Why are we going through this? And they began to throw all this out there to Moses, and Moses throws it out to God. So Moses said, the people among whom I am, notice this now, verse 21, are 600,000 footmen. Now that's a lot of men. 600,000 footmen, and thou hast said, I will give them flesh that they may eat a whole month. So not only the footmen here, but then they had, you know, the wives and children, and that's why I'm saying Israel here was probably 2 to 3 million strong. He says in verse 22, and shall the flocks and the herds be slain for them to suffice them? Or shall all flesh of the sea be gathered together for them to suffice them? The Lord said unto Moses, is the Lord's hand waxed short? Thou shalt see now whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. And Moses went out and told the people the words of the Lord. And he gathered the 70 men, of the elders of the people, and he set them round about the tabernacle. And the Lord came down in a cloud and spake unto them, and took the Spirit that was upon him, Moses, and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass that when the Spirit rested upon those 70 elders, they prophesied and did not cease. But there remained two of the men in the camp. The name of one was Eldad, and the name of the other was Medad. And the Spirit rested upon them, and they were of them that were written, but went not unto the tabernacle, and they prophesied in the camp. And there ran a young man and told Moses and said, Eldad and Medad do prophesy in the camp, and Joshua the son of Nun. There's our good military man Joshua, the right arm of Moses. He says, the servant Moses, one of his young men answered and said, my Lord Moses, forbid them. And Moses said unto him, enviest thou for my sake? Would God that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit upon them. And Moses got him into the camp, and he and the elders of Israel. And there went forth a wind, now notice this now, from the Lord, and brought quails from the sea. That would be the Mediterranean Sea. Brought them from the sea, and let them fall by the camp, as it were a day's journey on this side, and if it were a day's journey on the other side, round about the camp, and as it were 2 cubits high upon the face of the earth. Now, a cubit's about 18 inches. So you got 18 inches plus 18 inches, about 36 inches. There was enough quail, about 36 inches off the ground. That's a lot of quail. And I don't know if you've ever been in a quail hunting or whatever. I have. I've been quail hunting and that. And I can just try and picture this in our minds. And around about the camp, 2 cubits high upon the face of the earth. And the people stood upon all that day and night and all the next day, and they gathered the quails. And he that gathered least gathered 10 homers, and they spread them all abroad for themselves round about the camp. And while the flesh was yet between their teeth, ere it was chewed, and the wrath of the Lord was kindled against the people, and the Lord smote the people with a very great plague. Wow. In verse 34, and he called the name of that place Kibroth, I was at Hattaavah, because there they buried the people that lusted. Remember the problem back in the beginning was they complained, and then they lusted for all this quail or this food or this meat. And the verse 35, and the people journeyed from Kibroth Hattaavah unto Hazeroth and abode at Hazeroth. So here it is, it's interesting in Scripture. God has a plan for complaining. And by that meaning, when you think about it, we've all, as we said, we've all been there at one time or another in this text. And so much so, we find it here in this text that God got angry here at the nation of Israel. And so much so that God sent fire down from heaven, consumed the people to the uttermost parts of the camp. Now, the uttermost part of the camp was the farthest away from that which was central. From that which is at the heart of central is where Moses and them served at. And so, you know, it's easy to be critical when you're the farthest away from the heartbeat of what is central. And what's it kind of like the old saying is, don't criticize or don't complain or don't wait until you walk a mile in a person's shoes or moccasins or whatever until you know really what's from their heart. Be careful about complaining as we look at this text. We see Israel complaining, and not only that, we see Israel lusting. And together, those two are not a good combination. So Israel's on their journey from Egypt to the promised land, to heaven. So Numbers chapter 1 here to verse 10, we see the obedience of Israel in these first 10 chapters. We don't have time to go back and look at it. And really, when you look at the chapter 1 to chapter 10, it's kind of like all is well and things are good. And now they get to this point here, Moses and Aaron here. Now Israel becomes rebellious, and Moses and Aaron also rebel against the Lord. And so when rebellion shows up in the camp, guess what? God gets angry. And so he does so right here. He got angry. His anger was aroused, and God plagued the people, the Bible says, as he did in Egypt with Pharaoh and with the Egyptians. And so even though God had judged the generation of Israel, he'll fulfill, though, his promises to Abraham in the future. And so the complaining here really began on that journey from Sinai, from Mount Sinai, where they received the law, and on the way to Kadesh Barnea. I don't know about you, but I always, serving in the Christian life, I got saved when I was 16, so I'm 67, so I've been saved, over 50 years. And I think back in 50 years of being a Christian, and many times there's highs and there's lows, there's good times and bad times, rough times and hardships, and then there's times of mountainous blessings and blessing after blessing. And so it's very easy as you go through the journey of the Christian life, if you're not careful, that we look at the glass half empty and not half full. But here, like Israel, you know what they begin to think about? They begin to think about all that was down in Egypt. And so they missed the melons and the cucumbers and the leeks and all the things that they had down there. And now they're out here in the wilderness and trusting the Lord. And you know what's interesting about the quail? The quail simply was, is God promised them manna and quail for one day's supply. Just one day. I'll give you, as the dew comes down at night, and the dew, there'll be manna out there. You're to go out and to gather that manna. That's enough to handle everything for one day. There'll be quail there enough for one day. But they complained unto the Lord, and that wasn't enough, so God gave them this abundance of quail. The Bible says so much so that was in their teeth or through their nostrils or whatever. And you look at it. So what it really does, it teaches you and I just to go one day at a time and trust the Lord on today. The only thing it really meant, you and I can do nothing about yesterday. Yesterday is gone. History is gone. That's behind us. Yes, sometimes it's nice to reflect on that, but yesterday is yesterday. It's gone. There's nothing you and I can do to roll that back and change anything in history. It's done. It's in the books. Same thing going forward. There's nothing that I can do about tomorrow. Tomorrow's tomorrow. You got to wait until tomorrow gets here and trust God one day at a time. It's literally the same principle with the quail and the manna right here is for you and I, by faith, to trust God one day at a time. Just get up every morning, enjoy that beautiful sunrise, and say, Lord, today is a fresh new day, and one day, and learn to trust Him. And don't worry about what, a lot of things, times we worry about things, it doesn't happen anyway. But we find here, God heard their complaining. So the complaining was outward and loud. The Bible says here, in their tent. It was not inward and silent. So, you know, if you really think about it, maybe all complaining should be inward and silent and keep it to ourselves. You want to complain some. The first one we should complain to is God. go to him in private, and I mean, just lay it out. Moses, I admire and respect Moses here. When Moses went in, he literally told God how he felt. He laid it right on the line. These are not my people, they're your people. This is not my problem, God, this is your problem. I mean, he laid it right out. Did you ever have a good heart-to-heart talk with God and sometimes lay it right out? And sometimes I look at Moses and I respect him for doing that very thing. Something's bothering you? Then go right to God and get it off your heart, get it out of your soul, and lay it out there and whatever it is, and take it right unto the Lord. I love how Moses does this. And so it should be inward and should be silent only to the Lord. And this outskirts of the camp here, God in his grace consumed only those who were on the very edges of the encampment of Israel. So you look at verse 2 in Numbers 11:2, the people cried unto Moses, so God sends fire down to consume them. And then Moses intervenes, and the fire stops, and so we find this place called Taberah here. And this mixed multitude that it refers to, as I said in verse 4, the word occurs here only in the Old Testament. It's the mixed company that was used in Exodus chapter 12 and in verse 38 as they were leaving Egypt. So this mixed multitude here are the non-Israelites who left Egypt with Israel in the Exodus as they left. And you think about the meat here year after year. Now think about that, year after year. I think some of us probably when you walked in tonight, you're thinking about what you're going to eat for supper tonight after church. I'd almost bet there had to be at least five people thinking about that. I wonder what I'm going to do tonight when I leave here. So you're already thinking about, you know, I've often thought of this. How much time would we save if you never had to think about food? You didn't have to shop for it. You didn't have to go buy it. You didn't have to go to the restaurant. Just think how much money you'd save if you didn't have to go to the restaurants. And that how much time in our life is wasted on food. But yet we put such a priority on that. And so here it is. God says, okay, you're going to wander in the wilderness. I'm going to provide for you every day. And all you got to do is just collect the manna at night, enough for one day. That'll sustain you. We'll give you quail, and that'll sustain you for one day. Don't worry about tomorrow. Tomorrow will take care of itself. And that Israel was not satisfied with that. And so when you think about manna right here, you know, it was a tasty. Now you look at it, you say, well, how many ways can you fix manna and make it edible and make it fun? You know, I remember hearing my father grow up, and they didn't have a lot of money. My dad and mom used to say they didn't realize how poor they were. Now some of you can relate to understanding this, some of you may not, but my father grew up said we ate mush about it, fried mush about every day. At the house on the farm. How many of you even know what fried mush is? Anybody know what fried mush is? I don't know if you ever ate it or not. It's just ground cornmeal fried up and put in some oil and that. And so when you think about it here, I always kind of equate manna. Now, if I had to do this, I could eat oatmeal 3 times a day, 7 days a week. Now, look at that. So I think about here, manna, this manna, special food from God. It came at night resembling this hoary frost, and it came with the dew, probably collected. It was white. It was delicious in flavor. It looked like that coriander seed. The plant. It was a plant in the Mediterranean. It was tasty. It was nourishing. It came by miraculous. Can imagine that? You don't have to worry about a menu. You don't have to look at it and say, I wonder what I'm going to eat today. You look at it, and that's manna again today, manna again tomorrow, manna again the next day. And so you go right on through it, and you look at it. It came in a seed-like form, so it had to be ground. And as soon as the other food was sent, the manna ceased, and it was a temporary provision for Israel. So looking at it in verse 5, you know, they look back and they say, well, I remember what it used to be like. We used to have the fish of Egypt and the cucumbers, the melons, the leeks, the onions, all that, and we ate that freely. And so they missed all that. So now you look at it in verse 6, you get down here in Scripture, and it's like their soul is dried away. There's nothing at all. And just this manna, day after day after day after day after day. The color of the manna is even given here in Scripture, and you think about it here, it was gathered, it was ground in mills, it was beat in mortar, it was baked in pans, it was made cakes out of it, it tasted like fresh oil, and it came with the dew every night. And so Moses was listening at it. This says in verse 10, heard the people weep throughout their families, every man in the door of his tent. And the anger of the Lord was kindled greatly. So Moses becomes discouraged. Moses becomes displeased. And so Moses goes to God, and wherefore have you afflicted me with this? And like it is with Moses's, like it was Moses's fault, or in other words, Moses, and they get in this, I love this dialogue they get in here back and forth between the two. What did I do wrong to deserve this? Why am I here dealing with this? God, this is your people. This is your problem. And you know what really is? When we have a problem or an issue, we should take it to the Lord and say, God, I don't understand what's going on. So I'm going to give this to you. It's not my problem, it's your problem. It might be mine now, but I'm going to give it to you and just trust you day by day. And so Moses goes to God and simply in verse 12 here, did I convince these people? Have I begotten them? They're not my children. And so if you're in the Lord's work, every once in a while, one of God's people will rise up and complain. Now, if you're trying to serve the Lord, if you're trying to be a Sunday school teacher, you're trying to be a deacon, or you're trying to serve the Lord, or you're trying to be a pastor, you're trying to be whatever service, worship leader, whatever, that whatever it is that we do in the Lord's work, I always try to smile and thank them for their complaint, whoever it is, and try to put that in the right slot in my own mind, say, God, that's not my problem. If there's something I can do something about it, then fine. If not, God, that's your problem. And turn it over to the Lord. Give it to the Lord. And let God have it. And so you find here with Israel, they had that, Moses and God had that dialogue. And so he's simply here, this is the Lord's work. And so God can do a better job than you and I can. And so Moses confessed to God that he was not able to provide meat for the people as they demanded. In verse 13 and verse 14, you and I will never measure up and be able to accomplish everything and do everything and get everything always right. So the complaining here was so discouraging to Moses that because of this great burden, Moses even went so far in the Bible as to tell God in verse 15, just take me out and kill me. Now how low do you have to get before you get discouraged enough to just to say, Lord, that's enough. I just don't want to do this anymore. And so that's exactly where Moses is at. I mean, when you get to that point, it's, Lord, just take me out. And so God responds to that in these verses. And he has a plan and a way to help. And he gives Moses these 70 men to help and that aids Moses in this. And I like how he does this then. He takes the spirit of Moses, God's spirit upon Moses, and puts it upon these 70 leaders to be able to help. We are not in the Lord's work alone. We are in the Lord's work together, and the Spirit of God rests upon these 70 to be able to help Moses. And so the Lord gave the Spirit to the 70 men to fulfill the Word of God, and so you don't have to go it alone, no matter what it is and whatever you're doing. So here, God is going to give Israel flesh to eat and the desires of the heart of Egypt, and more than what they bargained for. Be careful what you ask for. Be careful what you bargain for. In verse 18, and say thou to the people, sanctify yourself against tomorrow, you shall eat flesh. For you have wept in their ears the Lord, saying, who shall give us flesh to eat? For it is well with us in Egypt. Therefore the Lord will give you flesh, and you shall eat. You want something to eat? I'll give that to you. So I love how he takes here the 600,000 men, enough, and goes, and enough here for a whole month. And where's the flesh going to come from? Are you going to take it from the flocks? Are you going to take it from the herds? Are you going to take it from the fish? God says, no, I'll send it with the wind, 36 inches high on the ground, more than you ever will have enough to be able to use. And so it says here in verse 23, as the Lord has been shortened, when you look at it in verse 23, and the Lord said unto Moses, is the Lord's hand waxed short? What is he really saying in verse 23? Is there really anything God cannot do? Thou shalt not see whether my word shall come to pass unto thee or not. God can do anything. And so we find here, it's really, is there anything too hard for the Lord? It's really a figure of speech indicating the Lord was able to do as he had said and provide meat for that 600,000 men of Israel and their families for the whole month. So they sat around the tabernacle waiting on that meat. And look at it in verse 25. The Lord then came down in a cloud, spake unto them, took the spirit that was upon him and gave it unto the 70 elders. And it came to pass when the spirit rested upon them and they prophesied and did not cease. And I love this in here about Eldad and Medad. The Spirit of God rested on them. They prophesied. Joshua went to him. Remember, it says here in Scripture, and wanted it stopped. But God simply said here, Moses, by this, he looked forward to the covenant, and the Lord would put his Spirit upon them, and so the Lord would put his Spirit upon Medad and Eldad. So God sent the quail, fell by the camp, and fell by the day's journey on each side of the camp, as they come, they provided enough for Israel to be able to be sustained and to be provided for. When you look at this here, they had so much quail and so much to offer, and that God called this place, was it Kibroth Hattaavah? because it simply says it was here that Israel lusted. They complained and they lusted, and that's a bad combination. And that's exactly, when you think about it, was pride of life and the lust of man. It was the lust of the eye and the lust of the flesh that caused them to fall into sin. And so when you look at it here in the text, this lusting and complaining caused Israel. So if you decide to complain, we find here there's a right way and a wrong way to do it. So God's plan of complaining should be inward ourselves, keep it to ourselves, and then do that unto the Lord. There's much this week to be thankful for. Count your blessings, really name them one by one. And even in that, you know, when you think about the manifold blessings, you talk about blessings, I think about these families that are in California right now going through these wildfires. And I heard just recently there's like over 70 people killed in California. Families that 1 week ago, everything seemed to be fine. Everything was in order and they had everything and life was good. And all of a sudden, that swept through and now they've lost everything. And so by that, you know, is there justification to be able to complain? And, you know, I was listening to one man that literally said, I lost everything I had. And his simple answer was, we start over. That's hard. When you think about that, I can't imagine being in that position in life and where you lose everything that you have. Imagine what Job went through. And I love the story of Job in the Bible that simply through all that, he would not complain unto the Lord. Remember they said, Job, just curse God and die. Give up. His friends deserted him. Everybody went against him. And so Job just simply said, though he slay me, yet will I serve him. That is hard. Boy, you got to dig deep to be able to do that. And so there is many, many blessings and things that we should be thankful for unto the Lord. And so this week's a week of Thanksgiving. It's a week that we spend times with our families. It's a time to reflect and to think about the goodness of God and just His goodness and manifold blessings in so many ways. I was talking with, when I come in tonight, I was talking to Tammy back there, and her and I were talking about, you know, as you get older, getting older is difficult sometimes in life, and the struggles come along with that. And did you ever notice, I think sometimes it's attitude and it's our mindset of how we want to live our life in our old age or our older age or whatever you want to call it. I guess I still like it. My kids think I'm old. I don't think I'm old, but they say I'm old, so... So it'd be fun to hang out with the grandkids this week. Did you ever notice how hanging around the grandkids kind of keeps you young? And that they're a lot of fun to hang out with. And life is so much fun. I get into trouble every time I'm with the grandkids because they call me a picker or whatever. I like to pick and have fun and just hanging out with them or whatever. But when you think about that, you know, just the blessings. I have several aunts and uncles. Many of them are in heaven today. But my Uncle John was one of those guys, be my mom's oldest brother. John grew up, he worked for the telephone company in the state of Ohio. And John loved to golf and played sports and played football and baseball, basketball, all that. Excelled at it very well in high school. But anytime I was ever around my Uncle John, he was always positive and upbeat and life was always moving forward and always fun. And just when you walked away from my Uncle John, it was always one of those guys that made you feel like, man, it's just good to be in his presence for that moment and that time. I miss him today. He's in heaven today. He's no longer here, but he was one of those guys that always just made life fun and always looked at the positive side. And I've talked to him many times about, don't you ever get down or discouraged? Or, oh yeah, I do. I just try to get a mindset how I'm going to deal with that. And so God does have a plan for complaining. You say, well, what is that plan? We go inward with it and keep it ourselves, and we go towards God and give it to Him. Here Israel did just the opposite. They blamed it on Moses and complained to him, and Israel, as a result, had all kinds of issues and problems and the judgment of God. And so life has its challenges. So this week, I'd encourage you to look for the blessings and count your blessings, name them one by one, and look at the manifold things that you and I have and the church family. We do have much to be thankful for. Amen? Let's pray. Heavenly Father, God, we love you today.